Be still and know that I am God. There's that awkward moment. It's the moment of silence that at times can drive us crazy. We go to a hockey game or a sporting event of some sort, or we go to some event, and it says we need to take a moment of silence. Do you know how long that moment of silence generally is? Have you ever stopped and actually counted it? It's about 10, 15 seconds long. Because we can't handle it. We can't handle silence. It drives us crazy. Be still. Be still and know. If you go to that scripture in Psalm chapter 46, and if you have your Bibles with us, turn there. Psalm 46, it is a noisy psalm. Listen to the words. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake, and they're surging. Do you hear the noise? It's crashing all over the place. There's a river whose stream makes glad the city of God and the holy place where the holy God dwells. God is within her and she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms are crashing and falling. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and he shatters the spear and he burns the shields with fire. And then it says these words, be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The word here is Rapha, the Hebrew word for stillness. It means to relax, to cease, to be quiet, to put down. It means to stop your striving. It means to stop driving. It means to stop your worries and know that I am God. That's what it says here. Stop. Chill out. Calm down. I am God. And I got this. Take a moment and think of your own life today. Think of your journey this week. Think of the noise that you walked through this week. The noise at the office. The noise in your neighborhood. The noise in the house. The noise that just goes on inside your head. Think of those moments where maybe I tried really hard to just stop and hear the voice of God and all I heard was noise. I know you're in a series on worship. And this morning I want to talk about worship through another vein, more on the focus of solitude and silence. A place, a practice that for many of us in the evangelical church and many of us in the church in the last few centuries have kind of lost this practice of solitude and of silence. We've kind of just been so busy with so many things going on. We've kind of lost this awe, this place of quietness, this place of hearing the voice of God. There are so many beautiful ways to worship God through music and through the word and through prayer. But there's also a place of intimacy and quietness that we need to go to. And so this morning I want to talk about solitude and silence and spiritual practices that we need to reintroduce for some of us into our own lives. Because in there we find the intimacy with God. Because we hear His voice. He is our good Father, and we hear His voice speak to our very soul. Solitude is when we spend time in solitude and we get away from all the things that distract us from our reality. We see inside our lives and we see our thoughts and we see our behaviors. Solitude brings us peace that we just can't get when we're surrounded by others. It allows us to decompress and take the stress off of our days. Solitude is a place where we go where nobody else is. We find a beach to walk on, and boy, you got some beautiful beaches here to walk on. We find a quiet place in the house. We get away from everybody else, all the noise, and we just go find a place of quietness, solitude. We can bring along maybe our iPhone or something that plays music, and we can bring in their scriptures and we can read, or we can have this quiet conversation with God. But solitude is all by yourself, so you're alone just with God and your thoughts. Where silence is, as described by Robert Serra, through silence we return to our heavenly origin, where there is nothing but calm and peace and repose and silent contemplation and adoration of the radiant face of God. Silence is where there's no noise, there's no music, there's no sounds, it's just quiet. This morning, as Helen opened the door to where we're staying in a B&B in town here today, I said, listen to the silence of the sea. Just listen. It's quiet. It's peaceful. In our busy world, friends, in our busy world, and so much to do, I am amazed. Half the congregation left this morning and went off to be with kids. My word. If they're in your house, it is not silent. Oh, but friends, we hear the intimate voice of God when we're in silence. Mark Batterson, in his book, Whisper, tells a story, a true story. What happened in 2004? You may remember December 26, 2004. What world event happened? Anyone remember? The tsunami. A tsunami hit. It was a shockwave that produced a wave in the Indian Ocean that was over 100 feet high and traveled at a speed of 500 miles an hour. The devastation of this wave when it hit took over 280,000 lives. In one action, 280,000 people died. Within that mess and within the noise and with all of that devastation, there was one small group of people called the Moken tribe. And you can go online, you can Google it, and you can go online and you can read their story. But in all of that devastation, the Moken tribe did not lose one person to that devastation. Not one. And so the question is, why? Why did this happen? How do these people survive this? You see, the Moken tribe is a nomadic, sea-based culture. They live on the sea, and they learn and have learned how to listen to the sea. And when everything began to happen, the Moken people began to realize things were going on that were not normal, and something big was coming because they were listening and watching the sea. They watched the animals run to higher ground. And they began to get sense of there's something coming here. We have got to move. And so all those that were on the shoreline started to move long before everybody else did. Because they were listening and watching what was going on in the sea. Those who were fishing, those who were out in the ocean, instead of coming into shore, they turned their boats and started heading out into the deep. Because they knew it was safer out there than it was going to be in the shoreline. And at the end of all of the devastation, they survived. The Moluccan people explained it this way. When others were devastated and killed, they said, "Why? Why were you not?" And they said this, that they did not know how to listen to the sea. They did not know how to listen to the sea. Mark Batterson writes in this book, like these seafaring people who speak the language of the sea, we speak the language of the Spirit. If Christ is in you and His Spirit is in you, then you speak the language of the Spirit. And we should be able to hear the voice of God. When is the last time you heard the voice of God speak to you? When is the last time you heard the whisper, the small, still, quiet voice of God speak into your soul? Has it been a while? Was it recently? Did you hear it? Did He guide you? Did He speak? Did He show you something? When is the last time you heard the Spirit? We are people of the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God who speaks to us. The word for whisper in the Hebrew is damama. And can be translated silence, stillness, calmness. We will not hear the voice of the Spirit in the noise of our lives. We must find a place of quietness. Remember the story in 1 Kings? The story of 1 Kings 18 and 19, the story of Elijah. There's lots going on in this story. It's an incredible story. You'll remember it as I explain it to you. But this story is going on, and Elijah is in hiding, and he is staying away from the king Ahab and his lovely wife Jezebel. And what he is doing is in his hiding, there's some fear there, there's some concern there. And at one point he says, I am the only prophet left. There is no other prophet. And at one point, He decides that he's going to have a face-to-face encounter with King Ahab. And so he goes and he experiences this time with King Ahab. And King Ahab says to him as he greets him, what do you want from me, you troublemaker? You have caused us such great problems. Because remember, Elijah prayed and the rain stopped. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain. You're such a troublemaker. And Elijah said, you know what? Ahab, it's time. It's time for us to have a duel. And so I want you to bring all the prophets, all your false prophets. I want you to meet on Mount Carmel, and we're going to have a duel. We're going to have an altar off. And so so Ahab brings his prophets. There's 450 prophets of Baal, and there's 400 prophets of Asherah. And there's about 850 prophets on this side, and there's Elijah on this side, and he said, here's what's going to happen. You're going to build your altar, and you're going to pray to your gods, and your gods are going to bring down fire and burn your altar and burn the gift. And they had two bulls, and they slaughtered the bull, and they put it on there. And he said, now you do your thing, and you bring your God. And if your God shows up and my God doesn't show up, then your God is God in Israel. And if my God shows up and yours doesn't, then my God is God in Israel. Is that a deal? That's a deal. Okay, way you go. And they went. And this group of people went, and they, boy, did they dance. Boy, did they yell and scream and shout. Boy, did they create noise. 850 people yelling and screaming in the mountains. All the things echoing, going, calling upon their God to come and start the fire. About noon, it says, Elijah started to mock them a little bit and harass them a little bit. Maybe your God is sleeping. Maybe your God is off in the bathroom. Maybe your God is on a journey and he's not anywhere near here. Maybe your God is somewhere and he needs to be called louder. So shout louder. And they screamed louder and they began to cut themselves. And they did all of this. And finally Elijah said, oh, I've had enough. Your God is not a God. Now meet the God of this universe. And he builds the altar. He builds it with 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And he puts all this wood on top. And then he takes the bull and he slaughters it. And he puts the bull on top. And then he takes and he pours water. Not once, not twice, but three times. So the whole altar is completely drenched in water. And then he simply stands there. And my words, not his, says this. God, just be God. Show yourself. And fire came from heaven and consumed the gift on the altar. It consumed the wood, it consumed the stones, it consumed the water, and it burnt everything up completely. In one, boom! Now, put yourself in Elijah's shoes for a moment. I'm guessing that you would be going, I have a lot of confidence in God right now. He's my guy. He's my bud. This guy is, God is awesome! Because I have experienced the power of God. Only a few days later, as he is walking along the road, a messenger comes to him from this lovely wife named Jezebel and says, if by tomorrow, may the gods deal with me ever so severely, that if by tomorrow your head is not off and I have killed you. So, what would you do? Did you not just see what happened in Mount Carmel? My God's a pretty strong God. What did Elijah do? He ran in fear. He ran in fear of one woman. He ran into the desert, and he gets to the desert, and he falls down, and he says, oh God, take my life now. I'm the only one left. There's no other prophets. Just take my life now. And God, in his gracious love, said, let me try something else first. And he fed him, sent angels, and he fed him for a few days. And then he said, I want to talk to you, and I want you to go to Mount Horeb, and I want to meet you there. And so 40 days later, Elijah makes it to Mount Horeb, and he goes off into this cave. And in this cave, he hears the sense of God and God's voice that said, I want you to come out because I'm going to pass by and I want to talk with you. And so he comes out of the cave and he stands on the edge. Now, imagine where he's standing, up in the mountains somewhere. The mountains are everywhere, all around him. And he's standing there and he's looking at this beautiful scenery. And then we read in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, these words. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. Okay. That's a pretty powerful display of God's strength, right? And what does it say? But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. Shake, shake, shake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. Power displayed. And after the earthquake came a fire. We know a lot about fire in British Columbia these days. But the Lord was not in the fire. What is going on here? Isn't that how God always is supposed to show up in power? And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And in that gentle whisper, God gives Elijah instruction on what he's supposed to do next. With all that display of incredible power, God speaks in a whisper to Elijah. Why? I believe, friends, it's because God wants to have an intimate communion with us. There are times when God speaks so quietly and so intimately because he wants to have a face-to-face with us where it's just you and him in this conversation. Genesis chapter 2. Now, please accept a little Brianology in all of this. Genesis chapter 2, it talks about, Genesis chapter 1, remember, it talks about the creation of the world, and God spoke and it happened. God spoke and it happened. And God said it was good. And God spoke and it happened. And it was good. And God spoke and it happened. And it was good. And then it says, God created humankind. And it says that God formed them out of the dust of the earth. Now, here's my Brianology. I'm a vision person, and so I can actually see God down on his knees and with his hands forming out of the ground a human being. And after he's got it all formed and perfectly made, then he breathes, same word as whisper, breathes this intimacy into this formed dirt, and it comes to life, both spiritually and physically comes to life. God speaks, God breathes into. If you read Psalm 139, we're reminded, we're going to read it in just a moment, you're reminded of the intimacy that God has and wants to have with you and me. The intimacy of relationship. Psalm 139 is a very, very powerful psalm. How we are fearfully and wonderfully made. How God creates us within our mother's womb. Or perhaps two of us in our mother's womb. God desires intimacy with you and me. A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, who you are a part of. Do you know that there's 82 Alliance churches here in British Columbia? Are you aware that there's 20 Chinese churches here in our district? Mainly in the Vancouver area, but Chilliwack on the island. There are 3 Filipino churches, 3 Vietnamese churches, a Spanish church. We have house churches, and we have an Iranian church that is seeing the movement of God in a most powerful way. They see people coming to Christ every week. It's an amazing story how God is impacting. The heart of our Iranian church is this. We want to see the opportunity to reach 90,000 Iranians in the Vancouver area. That's why God put us here. Can I just, is that your mission? Is your mission to reach the whatever number of people in this town, in this community, in this area? Is your heart passion to tell people about the love of Christ? It's so powerful. You're part of the Christian Missionary Alliance that are 445 churches across Canada. You're part of the Christian Missionary Alliance that are in countries all over the world. We alone in Canada have sent out over 200 international workers. You are part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance who is focused on being Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people. That's who Christ has called us to be as a people, as a denomination. And that is the call of our vision in our denomination. A.B. Simpson, in 1887, formed the Christian and Missionary Alliance. He formed the Christian and then the missionary, and then they came together as the Christian and Missionary Alliance Society, which then became a denomination. And he wrote these words, excuse me, about intimacy with God. Years ago, a friend placed in my hand a little book which became one of the turning points in my life. It was called True Peace. It was an old medieval message, and it had been but one thought, that God was waiting in the depths of my being to talk with me if I would only get still enough to hear him. I thought this would be very, very easy, so I began to get still. Isn't that usually how it is? I'm now going to get still. But I had no sooner commenced than a perfect pandemonium of voices reached my ears, 1,000 clamoring notes from without and from within, until I could hear nothing but their noise and their din. Some of them were my own voice, and some of them were my own questions, and some of them were my own cares, and some of them were my own prayers. Others were suggestions of the tempter and the voices of the world's turmoil. Never before did there seem to be so many things to be done, to be said, to be thought, and in every direction I was pulled and pushed and greeted with noisy acclamations and unspeakable unrest. I promise you, if you make a determination to be still and to be silent and to wait to hear the voice of God, this will happen to you. Your mind and your heart will be crowded. Simpson goes on to say, it seemed necessary for me to listen to some of them, but God said, be still and know that I am God. Then came the conflict of the thoughts for the morrow and its duties and cares, but God said, be still. And there came the prayers for which my restless heart wanted to press upon him. But God said, be still. I don't want to hear you talk right now. Be still. As I listened and slowly learned to obey and shut my ears to every sound, I found that after a while, when the other voices ceased or I ceased to hear them, there was a still small voice in the depth of my spirit. As I listened, it became to me the power of prayer, the voice of wisdom, and the call of duty. And I did not need to think so hard or pray so hard or trust so hard, but that the still small voice of the Holy Spirit in my heart was God's prayer in my secret soul and God's answers to all my questions. The small, still whisper of the Spirit. I know when I entered into this practice of solitude and silence, I remember sitting down in my chair going, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this right. And I closed my eyes and I began to listen, and all I heard was noise. And it's at that moment when we have the privilege of saying to Jesus, could you help me? I really want to hear your voice, but I need your help. And I began to say, Lord, would you capture that thought? Would you capture that thought? Oh, would you capture that one? Could you just set that aside? Because I need to really think about that later. But could you just take it from me? And it began to get a little quieter. And I remember how much I rejoiced after I had one moment of silence without the noise of everything going on in my head. One moment, I was pumped. And then I waited for another time, and then I had another moment, and then it went to 2 minutes, and then it went to 3 minutes, and then it went to 5 minutes. There's a number of things we can do. Find a quiet place. This is something if you want to jot down, because you may want to have a journey, a personal journey. I think we have it up here on the screen. Is that right? There it is. Find a quiet place and quiet yourself. Let Jesus capture those thoughts. Ask him, even if it's 1,000 times the first 10 times. Ask him, would you help, please? I need your help. And then practice a silence. Maybe it's a moment. Maybe it's two. Maybe you get to 3 or 4 or 5. You may want to choose a sacred word and just repeat it. Jesus, my Redeemer. Jesus, my Redeemer. Because it begins to focus your mind and your heart until you can be quiet. Maybe read a scripture, and in reading your scripture, you're asking Jesus to speak through the scripture. And you read it, and then you just listen, and you wait. And you wait for that word or that statement or that concept to pop out, the flashlight of the Spirit to shine to you what that is. What does he want to say to you? And you listen for the whisper. And when it's all done, you just pray a prayer of praise and worship and thank Jesus, thank the Spirit, thank the Father for speaking to you from his lips to your heart. It's called listening prayer. We do it in solitude and silence. We have to get there. Richard Foster wrote a book called The Celebration of the Disciplines, and he says these words, and it's going to be dated really quick. Listen to what it says. No noise or conversation, just you and God. Our fear of being alone drives us to noise and crowds. We keep up a constant stream of words, even if they are inane. We buy radios. We don't buy radios anymore. And strap them to our wrists. They're called iPhones. And they fit over our ears so that if no one else is around, at least we are not, ready for this, condemned to silence. We can't handle it. And yet, if we listen in silence, we hear the whisper of God. I want to practice this morning with you. We have just a couple of moments. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to be still, to be quiet. Best to close your eyes and ask Jesus to help you be quiet and listen for the noise that starts. Oh, got to get home. Dinner's going to be ready. Got to do this. Where are we going? Which restaurant are we going to? What am I going to do this afternoon? Oh, I've got this huge workload tomorrow. And the noise is going to, just ask Jesus to take it away. And then I'm going to read scripture and ask Jesus to speak through his Holy Spirit a word or a thought that comes out of this scripture. What does he want to say to you today? What message does he want to speak into your soul? And then we'll be quiet. And then I will read it again. And then we will be quiet. And then I'm going to ask some of you to share with all of us, what did you hear the Spirit say to you today? Because I want us to journey together and learn and hear and experience this together. So let's just take a moment of quietness, silence. Remember, ask Jesus to remove the noise that's going on in your head. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Oh, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Be still. Listen. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Oh, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Amen. Did you hear anything? Over here? Did you hear anything? Did you hear the whisper? What did Jesus say to you? What did the Spirit speak? What did you hear? How about in this area here? Did you hear the voice of God? What did he say? Anyone? Just share it out. My daughter, my love. Good. That's wonderful. Receive the blessing of the Spirit today. Yes, sir. Say that again. Know that you are an eternal being. Yes. And the beauty of relationship with Jesus means that eternity is with Him. What a promise. Anyone else in this area? Yes. I have all the answers for you. Amen. Amen. Anyone else in this area before we go to the final area? These two areas? Yes. Oh, receive that from Jesus today. Never believe that you are unworthy. Never believe it. It's a lie from the pit. For I have purpose for you. Beautiful. Beautiful. Anyone over here? On the far side? Yes? Okay. Yes. Leave no one behind. Reconcile. Okay. Yes. Amen. Oh, amen. There's a river. Oh, what a river of life from the throne of God. Amen. Anyone over here? Yes. My healing is for you. You know, I love it when God speaks. And sometimes He actually speaks through Scripture, and sometimes He actually speaks through His Spirit, and sometimes He actually speaks through the body. Because as we are experiencing the voice of God and speak it out, it may be the very voice that God uses to speak to you. Hear the voice of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. And may He be praised and glorified. For this is a beautiful act of worship to Him. Amen.
Thanks, Brian. Just for those of you who don't know, this is Brian Dirksen. Brian's here with his wife, Helen, who's just two rows behind, same seat. And Brian serves as an assistant district superintendent with our denomination. And so we didn't do the normal introduction because of the start of the message. So bless you, Brian. Thank you for being here. And so what we're going to do now, church, is move into ministry time. And what we're going to ask that... this place be a quiet place, that this place be just a sanctuary where we are intentionally listening to Jesus. And so I'm going to invite our prayer teams to come up. I know Brian and Helen agreed to be in the middle, and our other prayer team on that side, and our communion team here. And there's freedom here. Church. There's freedom to stay exactly where you are and continue in prayer. There's freedom to come forward if God has been tugging at your heart in some way. We invite you to come forward so that we can pray with you. If you want to celebrate and remember who Jesus is and the way that He's made, we've got communion here for you. And we're just going to move into this time of prayer and reflection. And so I bless you. in the name of Jesus. And I send you from here on mission, remembering that you are light bearers to the world around you. God's given you that mission, and it is an essential one. And so go from here, knowing God's love, His delight, and His call on your lives. And so, Father, we just make space right now. We can make space in this quiet to pray. We make space in this quiet to listen. We make space in this quiet to hear and respond to you. So come among us, we say. Come, Holy Spirit, move and have your way among us. Amen. Going to invite the rest of the worship team up here. We'll just have some worship. Again, the invitation is for you to jump in or just to sit and receive. The invitation is for you to stand, raise your hands.